Scripture is our launch pad right now. Amen? And we can go as high as we want. Notice what Paul said here. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've looked at this in depth, and I want to share a little bit about this again. But notice that the Apostle Paul was writing under inspiration. He wasn't just coming up with a letter, you know, as they say, but he was actually inspired of God to write this particular letter. In fact, the Scripture's inspired. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for men for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So this is one of those Scriptures. But notice it says, the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly, entirely. And he says, I pray, God, that your whole spirit, soul, and body. Say spirit, soul, body.
Spirit, soul, body.
Okay, now notice again, it's in that order. And the reason that people say body, soul, spirit most of the time is because they're more body conscious than they are spirit conscious. And most preachers, most people that I've ever heard quote this, they say it in reverse. Body, soul, spirit. Body, soul, spirit. And I didn't come up with this. Brother Hagin said that the reason people say this is because they're more body conscious than they are spirit conscious. Because we're so used to the physical. But do you know the parent of the physical realm is the spiritual realm? The spiritual realm existed a long time before the natural realm existed. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible says that we are spirit, soul, and body. And we saw that your spirit is the real you. That's the part of you that's going to live forever. Okay? And it looks just like you, except a whole lot better. Okay? Someone says, well, we know one another in heaven. Of course you will. Do you know one another down here? You know? And your soul, with your body, you contact the physical realm. With your spirit, you contact the spirit realm. And that's not being spooky or anything. That's just God's a spirit in John 4. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'm so glad that you came hungry today. Because I feel you pulling. I love that. That helps me preach better. And whatever God has inside me, it'll come out better. Because you came hungry this morning. You didn't just drag your old self in here. Maybe it's because you got that extra hour of sleep this morning. Amen. Okay, whatever it takes. But, you know, with your body, you contact the physical realm. With your spirit, you contact the spiritual realm. Now, with your soul, now, a lot of people thought the soul and the spirit were the same thing, but it's not, because Hebrews 4:12 says they can be divided. The only thing that can divide the Word of God is the Word of God that can divide between soul and spirit. Now, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And when you go to heaven as a Christian, your soul and your spirit are connected, even though they're separate, but they go to be with Jesus Christ. Okay? And we looked at this situation there in Luke 16 about the guy, the rich man and Lazarus, you know, and his body was in the earth, but he still remembered things. Remember that? So his soul was there with him. But as believers, I know when I was attending Bible school in 1983, my second year at Bible school, Brother Hagin taught for the first time, Kenneth E. Hagin, taught for the first time a course called Spiritology. It's called it Spiritology. And he had never taught that before, but it has been on his heart for a number of years until the Lord released him to teach on it, you know. And I happened to be in the class when he taught it the first time. It was an amazing thing. And he basically talked about some of these principles that were he said, we've got gyms and workout places that build up the physical body. We've got universities that build up the mind. He says, but the spirit man has been virtually left out. And he says, what we need is we need to know how to build up our spirits, which is the real us, so that we can allow our spirits to dominate us, to allow our spirit man to dominate us. Now, when you're born again, how many of you are born again? You know Jesus. Okay, same thing. The Holy Spirit literally moves on the inside of you and takes up residence on the inside of you. And the Bible says your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a roommate before? When I went to college the first year, we had two roommates, you know. And you knew when they weren't there and you knew when they were there. Make no mistake about it. The good, the bad, the ugly. You know? And do you think Jesus would take up residence and move on the inside of you and not affect you at all? Not the least. Not for the bad, but for the good. Now, sometimes you can choose friends that can lead you down the wrong path. How many of you know that? Sometimes you can get involved with the wrong person, whatever, and it can lead you down the wrong situation, down the wrong path, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm not the same person I used to be. Well, the same is true on the positive end. You can get around people that will, the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. And that's why, now we know that in church, no one's perfect, except me. I'm just kidding. You know I'm just kidding that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's aspects, and that's one of the beautiful things about a church body is that there are things in each and every one of you here. Now, I've been privileged to get to know each one of you a little bit through the years, you know, however how long you've been here. And it never ceases to amaze me to see the different gifts. Say hello for us. It never ceases to amaze me the different talents and gifts that each and every person has in this body. It's an amazing thing to watch. Now, the sad thing is that sometimes people don't even know that they're there. And they can go years without realizing, what gift? What are you talking about? You know, listen, we always think about gifts of the body of like someone that speaks behind a podium. That is, of course, but that's so shallow compared to the rest of the giftings that God gives people to do things in the body of Christ. Okay? The Bible talks about there's people that can encourage. Do you know that's a spiritual ministry? Read Romans chapter 12. There's a bunch of stuff there that's not pulpit ministries. However, it is a ministry. Amen? You know, there's people that have organizational skills. Do you know that's a gift from God? Amen? I heard some groans when I said that, but because maybe you don't have that. I don't know. But, you know, there's different giftings that people have that should be and can be used for the body of Christ, for the things of God. Do you know that? Praise God. And when you're more, and like Brother Hagin used to say, we need to become more spirit conscious. Now, that doesn't mean you float around like with your head in the air and you're saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, everywhere you go. That's not what spirituality is anyway. A lot of times that's just a con. Praise the Lord. I got 5 bumper stickers, a t-shirt, a hat, my fish bumper sticker, whatever, you know. But you know what? It's better that the fruit shows up in you instead of trying to plaster it on something to say, I'm a Christian and proud of it, right? Yeah. It's better to let people see you and then you be the advertisement instead of a hat or a t-shirt. Now, I'm not against t-shirts or bumper stickers. You understand what I'm saying? But we shouldn't depend on that to let people know, hey, we're believers. The fruit should show up in us wherever we go. People can look at us and say, I don't know what it is, but there's something about you I like. Praise God. And that will be your advertisement. Amen? Amen. And so fruit, Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me, how do you do that? Be born again. And he said, number 2, if my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. Amen? And so Paul says that we're living epistles known and read of all men. We're living epistles. One translation says we're living, walking Bibles. Hallelujah. And so people may not read their Bibles, but you are a walking Bible. Amen? If you're going to dress up like a big Bible. I got some crazy costumes that people wear, I've seen. Amen? But what we're talking about is letting the inside, living from the inside out, where God lives. Now, one of the best exercises that I know, and I still do it to this day, and I'll continue to do it till Jesus comes back, is I say regularly, as much as I possibly can, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Say it. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now that first part, you major on that, I am a spirit. I am a spirit. And my spirit is in contact with God. And boy, I tell you, I've noticed this. It's like, you know, I don't know if you've ever driven a stick shift car before? Some of you ever drive a stick shift car before? Now, I don't make too many of those nowadays, but you know when you shift gears, you can tell because you're doing it. Amen. And I tell you, when I started to do this, and when I do this, I can feel like a spiritual shifting that takes place in the more of a powerful gear that I am a spirit. And when you become spirit conscious where God lives, then it's easier for the doorway to be opened up so that you're led by the Spirit of God. Something that we shouldn't ever say as believers is we should never say, I don't know what to do, I'm confused. Remember that. Don't ever say, I don't know what to do, I'm confused. All right? When you say those words, you're releasing the ability and those words to work against you. Instead of saying, like the Bible says, I have the mind of Christ. I know what to do in every circumstance. Now listen, when you make that statement, a lot of times you'll be standing there saying that, but your mind still says, I still don't know what to do. That's okay. Say it anyway. Because I've stood there in the midst of situations where I did not know what to do or how to respond. My mind is like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? But inside I was saying, I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God. Just declaring it by faith. And all of a sudden, at the right time, at the right place, that wisdom came floating up from somewhere within and went up to my mind like a hot air balloon, just floated up to my mind. I was like, there's the answer right there. That's it. Okay? Because the doorway to the supernatural is by declaring what the Word of God says about you. Like when you say, I have the mind of Christ, instead of I'm confused, I don't know what to do, you're putting the brakes on. Amen? One time when I was, our first year of marriage, we drove from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Killeen, Texas to visit Lynn's brother. And I didn't realize that my parking brake was partially on for 8 hours. And when we arrived at the house 8 hours later, they said they could smell us coming in. I wonder why my gas mileage was terrible. Not a wise move, you know. It wasn't fully on, I would have known that, but it was partially on, you know. I was like, oh, goodness, you know. And it was a kind of an old beater car anyway, but, you know, that's beside the point. But a lot of times we're going through life with the brakes on, and we don't even know it. We're like, we should be going faster and further, but we're not going here. Why? Because what we're saying about ourselves has more authority than what other people... It doesn't matter so much what other people are saying about you.
That's good.
It's what you say about you that matters. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 16, you remember Jesus came and he was talking to all his followers, you know, and I guess he got curious one day because he asked his disciples, who are people saying that I am? What are people saying? And they spoke up and said, well, some say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets or John the Baptist resurrected, you know, or one of the other Elijah and so forth. And that didn't seem to satisfy Jesus because he says, all right, now who do you guys say that I am? Who do you say? It wasn't so important what other people were saying. He said, what are you saying about me? Peter rose up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Jesus immediately responded to him and he said, Simon, look, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that knowledge to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he says, as a matter of fact, upon that rock of revealed knowledge, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. He wasn't talking about building a rock on Peter being the first pope, okay? Because in the same chapter, he ended up talking Jesus out of going to the cross. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So Jesus wasn't saying that Peter was the rock, but he said the revealed knowledge, revelation that came from heaven. He said, that's what I'm going to build my church on. We are the church. And that's what we build as our lives on, revelation of the Word of God. And so it's not what other people are saying. It's important. It's what we say about ourselves. If I say, I have the mind of Christ, I get up in the morning, I'm getting ready and so forth, I'm about to go somewhere, meet with somebody, whatever, have a meeting, I say, I have the mind of Christ today. I have the wisdom of God. Boom. And you go out and you go about your business. You have just licensed. Amen. Amen. There's a lot of talk about voter fraud. You know, you got to be a citizen of this country to vote. How many of you know that? Right? Well, God has empowered you. He has licensed you to say things with your mouth that will release heaven to work on your behalf. Thank you, Jesus. Because death, the Bible says in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. We're either speaking death words or life words. Now, he didn't say that death and life are in the power of God. He didn't say that death and life are in the power of the devil. He said death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, you're going to eat what you say. Amen? Now, the great thing is that because we're made in God's likeness, in God's image, the Scripture tells us that when God made man in Genesis, that he made, the Hebrew scholars have, from the different Hebrew writers and so forth that wrote, that translated the Old Testament, said that man became another living, speaking spirit just like God. When God made man in his image and his likeness, the Hebrew says, actually, in the Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 7, God made man another speaking spirit. That's out of the Chumash. Don't ask me how to spell, but it's pronounced Chumash. Looks like Chumash or something like that. All right? Not that that means anything. But you are, and I are made in the likeness and the image of God. Now, in this earth that we live in now, there's the animal kingdom, okay? They're in a class by themselves. They're in a different class. They're not made in the likeness and the image of God. I mean, I like my dog. I do. I really like him, you know. I talk to him, but he's never talked back to me. Okay? She, of course, talks to the cat. I don't go in that territory, but, you know. But you know as well as I know that animals are not in our class. You can't fellowship with a dog or a cat or a bird or anything like that, okay? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Now, God put them there for enjoyment. He made them for our pleasure. So, you know, enjoy whatever you like. Amen? Just enjoy it. Praise God. Pastor taught in church today about go get an animal. No, I'm just saying God put them there for your pleasure. Some people like big dogs. Some people like small dogs. You know? Whatever the case is. But we are not made in the likeness and the image of a dog or a cat. All right? Is that a revelation today? You're made, and the reason that you and I can fellowship with one another and communicate with one another is because we're spirits made in the likeness and the image of God, which gives us the ability to communicate with one another back and forth. And same with the Lord. Now, animals can't do that. They have instincts, but that's about it, okay? But they can't communicate because they're not made in the likeness and image of God. But you and I are in a different class. We're in a different category, and we've been made in the likeness and the image of God, and we've been made another speaking spirit. And I wasn't planning on even talking about this, but your tongue gives you it's the doorway that gives you the license for God to step in and to move in your life. And one of the greatest lies, listen to this extremely careful. One of the greatest lies the devil has lied to people, Christians, about is that your words don't make any difference. You can say whatever you want and it won't change anything. You can speak death words, fear-filled words, and it won't affect you at all. But let me tell you something. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue of the wise is health, Proverbs says. Amen? James talks about the tongue. In chapter 3, about the tongue is like the rudder on a ship that controls the direction of that ship. It's like the bit in a horse's mouth that controls the direction of that horse's body. The tongue is like that. And it can either be controlled by Satan or can be controlled by God. It's up to us. So when the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, where he says, "Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing," he says, "Now choose life." God says, "Choose life." He says, I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing." And the Lord says, "You choose life." Amen? Well, how do you choose life? You choose the Word. Because Jesus said in John, It's chapter 6, verse 63. The spirit, it's the flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. When you choose God's word and you speak God's word, you're choosing life that sets you up for God's best. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful to know? Say, I choose life.
I choose blessing.
I choose the word. Amen. But this is one of the greatest lies the enemy has said to people through the years, that your words don't mean anything. You can talk any way you want, you know. But listen, if you keep talking sickness and disease, that's what you're going to have. But let me tell you something. You can talk your way out of it. You can. I've done it many times. Some alarming symptoms came to my body. What did I do? Open my mouth and declare what the Word of God has to say. How many of you have a mouth? Okay. Kids look at their parents, look at their teenagers and say, I know they got one. But listen, our bodies, our mouth, if we declare. Now, let me give you an example. Romans chapter 10. We're just going with the flow this morning. How's that? Amen? Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10 says, But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Do you see the word heart and mouth is used both together? How did you get born again? You believed in here, and you said it out here. You said, Jesus, come into my heart. However you said that. Do you notice when you did that? How many of you remember when you did that? Do you know there was no devil in hell? There's no demons that could pile up on your doorstep. They did not have enough power to stop you from being saved.
Yeah, that's right.
If the devil was so powerful, then he would have stopped all of us from getting born again. But he can't.
Amen. Thank God.
And he won't.
Amen.
Amen. And I submit this to you today, that the greatest miracle that there is the new birth.
Yeah.
Coming out of darkness, spiritual darkness, into spiritual light. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
As far as miraculous. I mean, from being an old sinner to a new creature in Christ, just like that, all because you said words. Jesus, come into my life.
Yeah.
What happened? Resurrection power went into you, made you a new creature. I remember when it happened to me. I do. And I was behind this old 200-year-old chapel that still stands today at Jamonville, this Methodist youth camp, and where the French an Indian war with George Washington took place more than 200 years ago, a long time ago. And I stood behind this chapel where someone shared the gospel with me. And I remember praying this prayer with this guy that led me to the Lord, me and my friend. And I know for a fact that my spirit, I didn't understand anything other than I knew something changed on the inside of me drastically. And I was born again. Now, let's talk about this for a minute here, because you've already received the biggest miracle that you can actually exist on planet Earth, and that's the new birth. And you did it by choosing words, however you said it. Jesus, I believe in you, come into my heart. You know, it just took that statement of belief to change your inward man. The greatest miracle of all. And you did it. Isn't that amazing? Maybe you never thought like that before, but you, the words of your mouth and your heart, the connection, when you said Jesus, you could have been just listening to a minister or listening to a preacher, and inside you said, I believe that. I believe that. And you were changed. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. That's the greatest miracle that exists. Now, everything else is on a lower order. Now, here's what the Spirit of God said to me a number of years ago, and I'll never forget it. He spoke authoritatively in my spirit. He said this. He said, Keith, if the words of your mouth, now I didn't hear it with these ears, I heard it in here. He said, if the words of your mouth changed your eternal destiny, which it did, he said, how much more will the words of your mouth change the everyday affairs of your life? And I thought, I never heard that before. I didn't hear a priest like that, but it came to me. He said, son, if the words of your mouth change your eternal destiny, which it did, that's the greatest miracle. How much more will the words of your mouth change the everyday affairs of your life? Now, what do we mean by that? What you say about your body, what you say about your mind, what you say about your money, what you say about your job. Do you know you can give yourself a raise right now? Well, Brother Keith, I'm on a limited income. I want a fixed income. Who says? Who says? You know, I know what you're saying when you say that. You might be retired and so forth. You have a certain amount coming in, okay. And that's okay, all right? But let's not, even your job, even if you have the best job in the world, don't limit what can come to you only through your job. God's a big God. And He's able to get things to you that you never thought possible. But what's God looking for? What's He looking for? He's looking for people that will just give voice to His word. Just be, pardon the expression, just dumb enough to say what the word of God says and walk away. Don't try to figure it out. I know some time ago, Brother Dan, he was teaching on the parable of the sower, marvelous teaching. And that's one of my favorite subjects, you know. And he was talking about the word of God as like seed, you know. Amen. And the scripture says that the farmer, you know, he's like, he plants the seed in the ground and it grows up, but he knoweth not how. Remember Jesus said that in the parable of the sower? He said, but he plants a seed, but he doesn't know how it produces. He doesn't know how it produces, but it does. See, you don't have to know how everything operates before you use it. I drove a vehicle here this morning. It got me here. But I don't have full revelation of how that thing works. But I didn't let that stop me. I didn't get out there and scratch my head and say, no, until I can figure this out, I can't drive. No, I'd gotten that, turned the thing on, boom, and I got here. Amen? You do not have to have an actual knowledge of how things operate, how things will come to pass before you start operating in the principles of God. And when you begin to declare, by His stripes, I was healed since 2,000 years ago, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Himself, Jesus, took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And you, those two scriptures alone can get you healed from any disease and any sickness you can imagine. If that's what you're saying. Remember the guy in the Bible said, Jesus, just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Just speak it only. He didn't say speak some. He said speak only. Only speak what the word says. And if we're saying only what the word of God says, though we may be tempted to say other things of fear, doubt, and unbelief, okay? There's all these, I've noticed this too, that like you have, there's all these voices out here trying to come at us. The world, the television, media, other people, all these different voices coming at us, you know, negative, 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 you know. But we have to select and we have to choose the right words. You can dig yourself out of any ditch by saying right words. The ship can be turned around. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. The ship can be turned around. The boat can be, as big as it is, the bad the situation is, it can be turned around by just saying what the Word of God says over your situation. Amen. You're like, I don't know how I'm going to afford this. I don't know how this bill's coming. I don't know how I'm going to pay this. But you look at Philippians 4:19, where Paul said, by the Spirit of God, he says, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When you say that and that alone, you've just licensed God and the angels, by the way, to go and to bring that thing to pass into your hands. Amen. Here's another scripture, Psalm chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. The Bible says that Thou, O Lord, will encompass the righteous with favor as if a shield. God will encompass you with favor as like a shield. Everywhere you go, favor surrounds you. It's not like the old song that they used to sing. It said, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You remember that?
Yep.
Where'd that come from? Hee-haw, right? That dates some of us, doesn't it? Amen. Sometimes I feel like I've been around for 100 years, but it's only 50-some years. You know? Feels like 100 years. If we decide, and it's not a hard thing to do, Jesus said, my commandments are not grievous. And if we declare it, if you just start out even just taking one or two scriptures about something, and you hold on to that thing like a dog on a bone, you just don't let go. And I mean, your mind is screaming at you, your body's screaming at you, the circumstances are screaming at you. Oh, no, it doesn't look, this is going to happen. The economy, all this stuff's coming, you know. The doctor's report, don't be moved by that. Be moved by the Word of God. By His stripes, I'm healed. By His stripes, last time I checked, it's still the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
The Word of God the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. This is good news, isn't it? Glory to God. Amen. I say what the Word says. And you get up. Now, praise God. Why else would the Bible say, let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering? Because He knew, the Lord knew that we were going to be tempted to not hold fast to our confession. We'd be tempted to give up. Amen? Let us, Hebrews 10, let us hold fast. Hang on. Revelation says, hold fast that which thou hast. In other words, we'd say, hang on. Don't let go. When I was in youth camp, when I was a real young teenager, 12, 13 years old, this camp that we would go to every year, we'd have a tug of war. Now, in this situation, they had a big fishing pond, okay? Nasty thing. I mean, just you don't want to swim in this pond. And they had this bull rope that was about this thick, and it was real long. And we would do a tug of war, and they would divide up, you know, the people in the camp. And we'd have a tug of war, and the losers would end up swimming in the swamp. So you made sure you had some nasty clothes on that you didn't care about, you know what I mean? Because it just was. But the key to winning a tug of war is you've got to hang on. Now, I've been on both sides of that, where you lose and where you win. It's better that you win. You stay dry and you're happy. Everybody else has to take the clothes off, go get a shower and change, probably throw the clothes out after that, you know, this place I'm talking about. Well, you got in life, you've got the devil on one end of the rope, and he's pulling you. He's pulling and pulling. He's trying to pull you into that cesspool of his mess, of depression and fear and unbelief and sickness and disease and poverty and lack, all the curse. He's over there trying to pull it on. But here's the thing. When you're pulling the rope on your end, it's not just you pulling it. You've got God behind you hanging onto that rope. Because when you're speaking His Word, He's actually fighting the battle for you. Remember the Lord told, was it Jehoshaphat? He said, you'll not need to fight in this battle. Stand still. Was it him that said that? He said, you'll not need to fight in this battle, but stand still and see the salvation of God. Was that Moses? Maybe it was Moses. One of those guys. I think it was Moses. It was Joshua, I think. It was Joshua. He said, you'll not need to fight this battle. He said, set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of God. Amen. And so here's this war, this tug of war, and you got the devil over here and his demons trying to pull you into this cesspool of junk, you know, and you feel like you're losing. But you hang on. The thing you can hang on to is your confession of your mouth, because you've got God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost behind you, backing you up. Amen. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like that. When you got God backing you up, pulling for you, you're going to win in every situation. Amen? I like what one of the candidates says. He says, we don't know how to win anymore. And you know what? That's true. God wants to get winning back into our vocabulary. Scripture says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. See, we can win in every situation of life. We don't have to be losers. I think that's part of the biggest part of our vision that we have is to teach people how to win in life. Amen. And if you just stay hooked and if you stay planted and you stay under the Word of God, you're going to get instructions. You're getting it today, matter of fact. If you stay hooked and you stay plugged, you're going to get more instructions how to win in every single area of your life. Relationships, finances, body. Amen. Wherever, family issues, whatever. If you stay hooked to the Word of the living God and you say what the Word of God has to say, that's exactly what you're going to receive. Well, there are consequences for not holding fast to the Word of God. Let us hold fast to the confession of our lips without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Okay? Hang on to that rope. Well, what if we lose that confession? The Bible says that even Jesus Christ, concerning Him, He held a good confession in the face of Pontius Pilate. You know? I mean, He's getting ready to take off in that big jet. He's a pilot, right? Terrible sense of humor, I know. Jesus, in the light of being threatened and put to death, the Bible says He held a good confession. Jesus can do that. You and I can do that. In the light of so-called defeat, amen. I mean, what if you have a stack of bills and you lay them on your desk and they have a voice, they're talking to you, okay? And you owe X amount or whatever, and there's a stack of bills on your desk. What shall we say to these things? Exactly. What shall we say? That's what Romans chapter 8 says. What are we going to say to these things? What are we supposed to say? If God be for me, who can be against me? See, He talked about who shall separate us from the love of God. Shall tribulation, shall peril, shall lack, you know, tribulation, the sword. He goes, can any of these things separate us from the love of God? He says, no, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But He talks about what shall we say to these things? We're supposed to talk to things. Well, we know how to talk to people, but we need to learn how to talk to things. We need to learn how to talk to our bodies. Jesus talked to the wind and the waves. Peace, be still. Yeah, but Pastor Keith, that's Jesus. Now, Jesus never stopped His disciples and didn't say, now, guys, no, this is deity. Don't try this at home. He was showing us how to function, how to operate in the kingdom of God, in this earth. Jesus talked to wind and the waves. Jesus talked to dead people. Jesus talked to limbs to stretch forth. He talked to a fig tree. I mean, think about it. He talked to a fig tree. He says, no man will eat fruit of thee hereafter again. And so Jesus wasn't just teaching them that this is a trick of deity here. He was showing them how to us and them how to operate, how to function in the kingdom of God. Because our words, man is a speaking spirit, just like God. So if we choose life and we choose the Word of God, we can change any situation that we face. Somebody say, yeah! Glory to God. And if you look at that pile of bills on your desk and you say, oh God, please, please, that's not going to change anything. But if you look at those bills and you hold them up, I'm showing you how to do this, okay? How to win. You look at that and say, in the name of Jesus, I command these bills to be paid. Now, don't try to figure out how it's going to be made, taken care of. Your job is to say the word. Here's what I say to these bills. I have given. It's given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Or whatever scriptures you have, and you lay it down. Now, your head is going to try to tell you, you have to do more. You got to get 4 jobs now. Okay. No, let your mouth do the work for you. Your faith and fear both released through words. Okay. Amen? Everything has the ability to turn around. Everything. Your family issues have the ability to turn around. Your financial issues have the ability to turn around. Your body, and the bad report maybe you had, has the ability to turn around. Right? Has the ability to turn around. So what's the Lord waiting for? He's looking for us to say only what His Word says. Now you stop and think about it. God, I heard somebody say it like this. The Word was initially spoken that it might be written, that it might be spoken. The circle. See, the Hebrews and the Jewish people, they thought in terms of circle. God spoke the Word, came to the earth, man wrote it down, then man speaks the word back to God, His word won't return void, and you complete the circle, you complete the cycle. Well, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God spoke it once, we speak it secondly, it becomes an established fact. So he's just looking for people like you and I, just average folks. Praise God. That will just say what God says. Put your hands on your chest area right here, your stomach. And say this with conviction and with boldness right now. We're teaching you right now how to let your spirit dominate your body and your mind right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that my body is the temple of the Lord Jesus Christ. No sickness, no disease can stay in this body. Because by Jesus' stripes, I am totally, completely healed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. See, we're the Bible says in Revelation that we're kings and priests under our God. We're to rule and to reign in this life. Amen? He's made unto us, he's made us kings and priests, and a king rules with his mouth. What he says is what will happen. And that's how you and I are to operate, is to allow our words to work for us. And that's why, folks, that's why the devil has lied so much to Christian folks. We're not even talking about sinners. They're already blinded. The Christian folks to say, you can say whatever. You can bellyache and complain. Let me tell you something. If you just continue to bellyache and complain and murmur, you're going to have more of the same. It's the truth. Well, you can reverse the curse. You can turn it around. You saw that in Numbers. I'll close here. But in Numbers 21, you have the Israelites. They're in their tents and so forth, you know, and they're, you know, God's trying to bring them into the promised land, and the Bible says, it's interesting. The Bible says God heard them murmur, the Israelites murmuring in their tents. Now, what does that mean? That means that meant that they complained. Now, here you got these bunch of Jewish people and Israelites. They're in their tents, and they thought, surely no one hears us. You know, and one guy rolls over to his wife, and they start talking to each other in their tent in the wilderness. You know, man, it's so terrible out here. I can't stand it. They start murmuring, you know. And they think nobody hears them. But the Bible says God heard them. God heard them. They were murmuring in their tents. After God provided all this stuff for manna from heaven, quail, supernatural water came out of the split rock of Horeb, you know, which still exists to this day. It's there. Amen. Supernatural. And they kept complaining and murmuring. And the Bible says that God didn't cause it, but He permitted fiery serpents to come out, snakes to come out and bit many of the Israelites, and they perished and died. Right there in the wilderness. Now, I thought about that one time. I thought, those snakes were already there. But they didn't have any dominion over the Israelites until they opened their mouth and they began to murmur and complain. And so they put two and two together and they ran to Moses. Moses said, Moses, we've sinned against God. We've sinned against you. Fix this situation. What are we, you know, because it's a tragedy that's happening here. Many Israelites are dying because of vipers, poisonous snakes out there in Saudi Arabia. Okay. So what's the Lord do? He instructs Moses to make a brazen serpent, really big, high, lifted, brazen serpent. And the Lord said, here's what the Israelites are to do. Whoever looks continually, stares at this, that's what the Hebrew says, not just glance, but look and stare at this brazen serpent will be healed of that disease and whatever disease they had. Now, John 3 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. That brazen serpent is symbolic of Jesus Christ, who became brass, means it means judgment. The judgment came on Jesus, and that serpent represented the, in fact, that's where you get the pharmaceutical insignia with that snake around a pole. That's where that came from. All right? Some of you just found that out for the first time. But that brazen serpent was a type of Jesus on that pole, and it was high enough, whoever looked on that, the Israelites that were bitten were made whole. The poison didn't have any impact on them after they looked. They were healed. That's supernatural. All right? But I wanted to say all that to say this. Their words license the devil to come in and bring destruction and murder and death to these Israelites. Why? Because when they opened their mouth, they murmured and complained. And any time, oh God, help us from you know, we got Thanksgiving coming up. But folks, listen, we're not these kind of people that should have Thanksgiving once a year. Thank you, Lord, for the turkey. The bird's not thankful, I can tell you that right now. But you know, we ought to be thankful, folks, every day. We ought to be looking for things to be thankful for. Instead of looking at what you don't have, what do you have? And start counting your blessings. That will really encourage you. Because listen, no matter where you're at in life, there's always going to be somebody that's doing better than you, and there's someone on the other end doing worse than you. But we're not to look to either end. We can be content with what we have. God said, He'll never leave us or forsake us. Hallelujah. And so, I'm thankful today. I'm thankful for what we have. I'm thankful for what I have. And sometimes you've got to do that on purpose. Amen. Amen? Amen. We could just go over the place here. But I really felt led to go in this direction just a few minutes ago here. But what gave the devil a license was it God's will that those snakes come in and kill a bunch of people? Absolutely not. Now we know that those serpents are symbolic of Satan. Those serpents, though they're out there, had no dominion over the Israelites until they started to gripe and complain. Once they started to gripe and complain about God's provision, the Lord said, all right, I got to back off here. He took His protective hand off of them, and here comes the snakes. They come out, man, they're taking people down right and left, okay? But see, the doorway for what they didn't want came through their mouth. But as soon as they got their mouth straightened up, then the blessing came. The blessing came. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. Okay? So you may not realize it, but murmuring and complaining, it opens up the door for more of the same, for the curse to operate. Now, I'm not saying that a snake's going to come out behind the door here and nail you when you walk out here. You know what I'm saying? But Satan, Slewfoot, can have certain access to your life, and instead of looking at what you find, something that works in your life, look at something that's good in your life and magnify that. Amen. Magnify the Lord with me. Remember, I'll just say this, that you know, David said in Psalm 103, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So his spirit told his soul what to say. Soul, bless the Lord. Body, bless the Lord. Sometimes your body, you know as well as I do, your body doesn't want to do it. Your soul, your mind doesn't want to do it. But he says, soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when you tell your soul, I'm going to bless God, I'm going to give thanks, I'm going to give praise, I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to be enthusiastic about God, you look out because the tables are starting to turn. And God's hand, of His mighty hand, the Bible says His mighty hand is going to work on your behalf. Praise God. I felt extremely inspired by God to share what I just shared with you this morning. Not that I don't in the past services, but today was just something different. I feel extremely inspired to share that which I shared this morning. Amen. And I can just envision you going back to your places where you live, you know, and I know God loves you so much. He loves every one of you like you have no earthly idea. The kind of love that He has for you is beyond any human love. He is so in love with you, so committed to you. And He's just saying, look, you do your part. I will always do my part. Just say what my word says. Say what my word says. It is written. Jesus kept saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. And when you say God's word, you'll get what He has. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Dan, you got something? You sure? Okay. Praise the Lord. You sure? Come on up. Come on up. I just sense that you got something from the Lord here.
Benzele borprosa fram and share de vejekoma. In kilo horumara keskiskilo vlefesa from alekiso fase kenjokoko.
Yes.
For I've declared in my word, it's the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. For you see, in these seasons and these times,
yes.
My word has gone forth, and it's been by line upon line and precept upon precept. That these things are grasped.
Yes.
Don't let these things slip and fade, saith the Lord.
Yes.
For these are the things,
yes,
that my body fails in grabbing hold of. No, they're not complicated. They are simple things. But sometimes simple things, yes, slip by us. Be vigilant, saith the Lord, putting a watch over your mouth and allowing me to direct you by my spirit. Continue in my word and allow it to abide within you.
Yes.
Always be conscious of the things that you're speaking.
Yes.
Allow the light, the glorious light of my word to be released. It'll cause the seed within your heart to sprout and grow.
Yes.
It'll cause the things that you're believing for to come to pass. So continually put a watch and be diligent in these things, and so shall you see the promises that I have declared come pass,
yes,
in your life.
Yes.
Mm, glory.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Glory.
I just received that right now. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.